Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So we are about to enter the Memorial Day weekend. That means a three-day weekend for many people, and it's interrupting service for things that some people may want to experience today.
Yeah, this is exciting. With real people jobs, you get real days off.
Yeah, but today I had something really shocking happen to me at 5:14 in the morning.
What?
Coffee Bean doesn't open till 6 because of the Memorial Day weekend.
What?
Not 5. So I had to...
Starve.
Come here. Yeah. I have just water with me. I have no caffeine.
I refuse
to drink the Entercom charcoal they serve here. Becoming elitist with my coffee.
Well, I had something shocking happen to me, and I want to know if this has ever happened to you or any of our listeners. So I haven't been feeling well. I was asleep yesterday most of the day, of course. Yeah. I'm on the mend now and I'm feeling good, but my body just needed rest. So around 7 o'clock, I check my email. I don't even know why. I wake up. I just look at my email to be safe. I'm filming.
What?
I had no idea that it was confirmed that I was supposed to film for something today.
Oh, boy.
It's 7 o'clock.
When did that email come in?
It came in at 11:30.
The night before?
That morning.
The morning of, and they
yesterday
just assumed
morning.
They just assumed you'd be available?
Yeah, they said, what is your availability? I said, I'm probably around, just let me know.
Uh-oh.
They sent the email at 11:30 a.m. I read it at 7. You know me, girl. She goes into a tailspin. I said, what do I wear? What am I doing? I'm not prepared. So I got everything taken care of. But has it ever happened
is
to you
it,
where
yes.
something so big is happening and you didn't check your email or the communication wasn't clear?
Thankfully, my agents now call me. If they don't hear from me within 2 hours of sending an email, they call right away. But a lot of people have, you know, this company meetings or all kinds of things that, you know, employers will set up on you maybe less than 24 hours or just about 24 hour notice. And you weren't at your desk when they sent the flyers out. You didn't get that email.
Yeah, especially on a vacation weekend. I mean, we could have been gone. We could have been at the beach. So
yeah.
I woke up in a panic too. We're going to have to take a little walk down to Coffee Bean after this because we'll need a little caffeine today.
By the way, about 50% of Americans say that they thanked a veteran for Memorial Day.
That's great.
No. Memorial Day is for those who die, not for those who are living. It's two different holidays.
Well, the veteran that died.
Yes.
You're thanking them.
No. People are walking around being like, thank you for your service on Memorial Day.
Oh,
Memorial Day is those
going
who died.
Got it. They're like, thank you for
your... It says Memorial Day. It was just very funny. I follow the veterans website and they said, Memorial Day is not about our military. It's not about our veterans. It's about honoring those who gave their life to serve our country. For those of us who have served, this is an important distinction. So yes, of course, please thank all the veterans who you see walking around. But Memorial Day itself is to remember all those who gave their life for our country, which by the way, people like me had no idea.
And I want to know when these kind of days started turning into a drinking holiday.
I know.
Like, where at some point did people be like, you know what, this
barbecues.
Is a good day to have a barbecue and get hammered.
Well, speaking of getting hammered, a lot of people are going to want to get hammered when they hear what's going on in the news. So, Michaela, what are people talking about with the news
guys.
On the beat?
The 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots has been marked by activists in Texas with a new mural painted to honor the transgender women who were key figures in the protests. Now, the new mural, which is the largest mural in the U.S., is on the side of a building in Cedar Springs, Dallas. This mural represents, let me just say mural one more time. What an odd word as I'm saying it. I'm like, mural. This mural represents the trans women of color who were key figures in that riot and also key figures in start of the queer liberation movement. Artist Brian Kinney told NBC DFW. Now, the protests at the Stonewall Inn in New York City happened in June 1969 as a response to a police raid against the LGBTQ+ patrons of the inn. The protests are often credited as the beginning of the modern gay rights movement. The new mural in Cedar Springs shows two women, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, who are part of the Stonewall Riots and are thought of as two pioneers of the gay rights movement. Now, Dallas-based activist group Artitude are behind the mural and said that mural was painted as a response to the parts of the LGBTQ plus neighborhoods in Dallas being gentrified. All right, moving on. Well, I tried. That's what UK Prime Minister Theresa May said this morning as she announced her resignation. May had to step down after she repeatedly failed to deliver on her signature policy, shepherding Britain's exit from the European Union.
I have striven to make the United Kingdom a country that works not just for a privileged few, but for everyone, and to honour the result of the EU referendum. It is and will always remain a matter of deep regret to me that I have not been able to deliver Brexit.
Now, she'll stick around 10 Downing Street until her successor is named. Support for May plummeted in her cabinet after she unveiled her latest Brexit plan, which looked a lot like the other Brexit proposals that UK lawmakers had voted down three times. She tried this week to sweeten the deal by dangling the prospect of a second Brexit referendum, and that was just too much for some senior members of her government. All right, you guys, well, this is the time to remind you that it is kicking off Pride season just next week, and we want to make sure that you're getting all you can out of Pride season. So thanks to Channel Q and Schaffer Hoffer Pomegranate and Grapefruit. They want to send you and somebody else, anybody of your choice, to New York City Pride. That's June 27th through June 30th. All you have to do is head on over to wearechannelq.com. They're going to take care of your airfare, your hotel stay. They just want you to live your very best life in New York City. Now, listen, coming up, Mayor Pete has been criticized for not being that flamboyant gay we all wanted him to be, but he may have just made up for it with the way that he talked about somebody we all can agree we don't like, and his name is Trump. So stick around. We'll be right back.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, Mayor Pete has been making waves because, of course, he is the first openly gay candidate. It seems like he's got a real shot, and also the youngest by quite a bit. If he were to take office in 2020, it would be just shy of his 39th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm older than Mayor Pete. That, like, really hurts my feelings. That being said, I've been really kind of following his path because he's been accused in the past of being a little flat and a little dull. But I've seen him as intelligent and articulate and able to kind of describe his thoughts in a very, very understandable way. And he's quite articulate. That being said, he turned up the heat a little bit in the past couple of interviews he did, specifically one he did for a live streaming video for The Washington Post with reporter Robert Costa. Now, he actually asked Mayor Pete if Trump should have served during the Vietnam War and mentioned Trump's going to come at you. He's going to hit you hard. Are you? How are you going to combat Trump's assaults on you if you do make it and you are the party's candidate? This was a part of what Mayor Pete said about Donald Trump in that war situation.
I don't have a problem standing up to somebody who was, you know, working on season 7 of Celebrity Apprentice when I was packing my bags for Afghanistan. But this is somebody who I think it's fairly obvious to most of us took advantage of the fact that he was the child of a multimillionaire in order to pretend to be disabled so that somebody could go to war in his place.
So, I mean, that was the best low-key read I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think that people have called him boring and called him flat when I really believe he's just been playing it safe because he is out. He didn't want to create too many waves. But every time he's been confronted with a situation, he's had an answer that you really can't fight. And I think that it shows a lot about his character. Listen, you can say whatever you want. He did fight for our country. He definitely just gave
and then we've got
the
a draft
read.
Dodger with Trump and his fake, but he goes on to say that that Donald Trump faked disability, and then Robert Costa, you know, pushes back. He's like, "Wait, are you saying that you think Trump is disabled?" And then he's like, "Do you think he's disabled?"
Yeah.
And then they have a laugh, and he's like, "I don't mean to marginalize disabled people, but that's what Trump did. He pretended he was part of a marginalized group just to get out of fighting for our country."
And he did. That is the truth. I feel like he's giving the read without being shady. I also like that he didn't even laugh. He said, "Listen, I wasn't saying that as a joke. Like, it's not a joke. It's I'm standing up for the people who are disabled, and I'm saying Trump is shady."
So this would be very interesting. Oh, God, I hope they were in the room together. But so he continues on in this great interview with Robert Costa, and then he tackles the hot button issue of racism, which is something that has plagued the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself since it's been a long time. If you're a New Yorker, you know, because of the Central Park Five, and Donald Trump, made a big deal accusing these five black men of this rape that they ultimately were found innocent of. But that being said, you know, Trump's racism, if you were a New Yorker, was just common sense. You knew. And then The Apprentice kind of washed up his image a little bit. But then when he got into office or started running, you started hearing the rhetoric, the dog whistle kind of language. So this is how Buttigieg tackled the Trump racism issue.
If you do racist things and say racist things, the question of whether that makes you a racist is almost academic. The problem with the president is that he does and says racist things and gives cover to other racists.
I mean, look, you don't have to have been a racist to have voted for Donald Trump, but all the racists did vote for Donald Trump. I'm sure there are a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump who are not racist at all. But the many people who are the leaders of the many of the alt-right movement do feel that Donald Trump is saying things specifically to them. They quote what he says. They feel like he's speaking sometimes in code. The fact of the matter is, he has not come out as strongly against the alt-right as he has to people like Alec Baldwin.
Well, I think it was very clear when he said during, I believe it was in North Carolina, am I right, where in Charlottesville, and he said that there were good people on both sides in regards to even the white supremacists who were attacking the people.
And then, the administration, Sarah Sanders and all them, Kellyanne Conway rolled that back and like, well, no, he meant that there were some aggressive protesters, that were aggressive on both sides.
Right, it's but like, we know what you meant.
Girl, we know what you meant.
And that's really what it's been. I mean, it's felt like he hasn't necessarily been supportive of the alt-right, but he hasn't gone against him and said, please stop doing what you're doing. So,
he says things like, dog whistle, the things. Things that like when make your ears perk up when you believe in a certain way of thinking. For instance, he said, what's wrong with saying the word nationalism? I'm a nationalist.
Yeah.
What did that do? It fueled the white nationalists who were like, see, we told you. And so he knows who his base is, and he gives them just enough of a carrot to keep them engaged with him without fully seeming like he supports them.
Yeah, he's also gone on to say that African countries are whole countries. He refers to immigrants as rapists and murderers. So I think that however you listen to that, how you hear that, to me, that is racist rhetoric. And I'm happy that, you know, I've been so back and forth between Kamala and Pete Buttigieg. I just don't know. I've always really loved Kamala. I've been supporting her sort of from the beginning. But Pete Buttigieg is making some really great points. It doesn't matter to me that he's young. I think it could be a benefit that he's young, because really he's done so many things that a lot of our presidents haven't done, like fighting for our country, and being an out gay male who's married
from a small town in Indiana. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's from a conservative small town USA. And so he understands what those people, what their interests are and how to best support their needs. He's been doing it as mayor. So this would be on a broader scale, also just kind of being a little bit more liberal and embracing conservatives and liberals alike. We'll see where this all plays out. But for now, Mayor Pete, the library is officially closed.
Yes.
But we appreciated the reads.
Honey, get his glasses. He is taking charge. All right, you guys, coming up, Jay?
Yes.
Have you accidentally ever done drugs at work?
I absolutely accidentally have. And when you find out what celebrity was present for it, you're going to gag.
We'll have that story for you in 6 minutes. Stick around. You do not want to miss this.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Let me tell you something. I have been excited for this weekend for a long time. It's RuPaul's Drag Race Drag Con weekend. If you happen to be in Southern California, you want to make your way to RuPaul's Drag Con, just Google it. I'm not even going to give you the information. Just Google it and make sure that you head on over to see Michaela. She'll be wandering about mostly. We've got a small little tiny booth for Channel Q, but at that booth, there'll be a lash center. I think there might be some rumors of a glitter bar. I'm not sure if that's confirmed, but there is like cute little lashes. And,
yeah, 15, 20.
That's
where
our booth.
You can find me. And I'll be there. I'm coming with the look, honey. I've prepared, and I will be showing up and showing out. Thank you. And that's all you need to know.
Will you be doing your own look?
No! I've
You're
already
paying
been,
someone.
I'm not paying somebody. Oh, okay. My makeup artist loves DragCon, and he was like, "Girl, if you let me, if you're my little Barbie, I'm gonna make you look wild." And I was like, "Done."
I expect glitter. More than more than just a light sparkle.
I don't know if we're gonna go for glitter. I don't know what he's gonna do.
Maybe he'll get rid of your brows.
Giving it to him. Maybe
block
we might,
your brows down.
Yeah, he might. He might bleach him out.
Something
and give you a whole new look that you haven't seen from me. So we'll see. I don't even know what he's doing, but I trust him immensely. So we'll let him do it.
Okay. Well, a sound engineer inadvertently got high on LSD for 9 hours after he touched a 1960s synthesizer, which was coded in the LSD drug decades ago. And he ingested it through his skin. Now, he was repairing Cal State East Bay's some kind of synthesizer. I'm not going to give you the details on that one, but it was a 1960s device, and it abandoned in this cold, dark closet for decades. Now, he removed the knob to clean the crust or like the crystalline sort of residue underneath it. And after 45 minutes, Curtis had a little weird tingling sensation and was tripping on LSD. Now, it's unclear whether the LSD accidentally spilled or it was stashed there on purpose, but there are rumors musicians would wet their fingers and touch the device coated in LSD for a psychedelic inspiration. Well, he finished the synthesizer repair while wearing gloves. The poor guy was like inadvertently high at work for 9 hours. So the question is, have you ever been high at work?
First of all, I'm jealous of this man. No, I'm just kidding. I have not been high at work. However, when I was in high school, there was this thing called triple C's, which was so stupid.
It I can tell you what it is.
Yeah, tell us what it is.
Okay, so basically it is it's basically cough and cold pills, and it's the ingredient in there. It's a street name slang for it is cough and cold pills, and basically, it suppresses cough safely, but in large amounts, it produces a chemical imbalance in the brain that allows kids to feel like they're getting high.
Okay, so I had some of my girlfriends. They were like, "Here, these are triple C's, and they'll make you feel good." So, like an idiot, I was like, "Perfect." So I
She's
remember
like, give me that
it
DayQuil
hit.
Right now.
I was like, "I'm crazy about DayQuil." Got it? I'm on it right now. And so I was sitting in geometry class, and I don't know what happened, Queen, but I felt it. And for whatever reason, I felt like it was appropriate to have a meeting with my teacher at that moment.
And what'd you say?
And I said, "Can we step outside?"
Oh.
And so we stepped outside, and I said, I just want to do better. And she was like...
She was like, "Clearly you're on drugs.
You are high." And I was like, Not high. Meanwhile, I'm high. I don't even remember how the full conversation. 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have a similar story, but not quite as similar. But I was high at a place of business. I was going to, I'm not going to say where this was. I don't want to, and you know, it had nothing to do with the venue. I was employed to host a red carpet prior to a big event. That was a dance party after. The big event was a dance party. But they had a carpet for celebrities. So I, in my infinite wisdom, thought...
I love this story.
I thought...
I love this
I'm going
story.
To... Maybe I'm going to do what the kids are doing. I'm going to try this Molly thing that the kids are on. Because back in my day, 2 decades ago, it was called ecstasy. And that was what the kids were doing. So I put 2 tabs of Molly in my little socklet and then put my sneaker on over it just for safekeeping, because just to hold on to it till later, because the pants I was wearing had weird pockets and I didn't want to like reach for something and have the pill fall on the floor. That being said, I'm interviewing a celebrity on the carpet. She's talking about her work for the community, her advocacy, and how important it is to fight for LGBTQ rights. I'm warm. I start to sweat. I start to feel really warm and nice. Her back... The texture of the fabric of her dress, where my hand is resting on her lower back, I can't get enough of it. I start grazing it back and forth with my thumb. Now all of a sudden, I'm warm. I'm radiating heat. I'm like, what's happening? I know. I'm like, I feel like I'm starting to roll. Like, what is happening? I'm interviewing her. Now my eyes have filled with, I'm welled up with tears. I am so emotionally committed to what she is sharing, but really, I'm high on Molly. And it looks like when you watch the interview back, it looks like I amplified what she was saying and she really spoke like truth into power. And there,
and really, she was just saying like, I love gay people.
I had absorbed the Molly pills through my skin and into my socks.
I'm dying.
So Kelly Osbourne, I'm so sorry I screwed up your interview.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So So, you know, with everything going on in the White House and the Trump administration, we try to utilize all the colors we have in our crayon kit here at Channel Q and try to see what we can do to, like, have a direct communication with the White House. And the best thing we could do is have Michaela Gordon use her personal connections, since she was a contestant on a Donald Trump pageant show, Miss USA, vying to be Miss California. She got a cell phone number, and so she just, apparently it's still active. And so she just, every now and again on Fridays, just gives him a little weekly check-in.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give him a call.
He looks forward to it.
Yeah, we like have a unique relationship.
You have a good bond.
Well, I wouldn't say it was on both sides. I would say that he likes me, and
it's
I appreciate...
It's a special connection.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to give him a call. Here we go. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Mr. Trump.
How are you? It's President Trump, sweetie. Can you get it right one time?
Oh, I'm so sorry, President Trump. You are not feeling my oats this morning. How are you doing? You upset?
I'm really calm and collected, as you well know. I'm very relaxed. I'm what the kids call chill. Chill. Is this what they said about, you know, you were in the meeting. Was I upset? Did I raise my voice? Did I steam? You were there. Kellyanne was there. Sarah was there. Mercedes was there. You were there.
I
was there.
No,
you were all there.
Okay.
You saw me.
You know what, President Trump? Jai and I actually were not in the meeting. We were not.
Oh, really? Because there was a woman in the room who just looked just like you. I have to tell you, right? Very hot.
Oh, was she hot? Well, that's nice. I like that you're trying to sound calm and collected, very robotic.
I am. I'm very calm and collected. You know that. You know that about me. I don't get upset ever.
No.
Ever about anything.
You're like
a... You know, crying Chuck and crazy Nancy, but I can't call her crazy because I already used crazy on Bernie, so I got to come up with a whole new nickname for her.
Well,
so many things to do, but I got to come up with a stupid nickname for Nancy.
What about Stable Genius?
Isn't that the best? Is that the best? I love that. I hear they're selling t-shirts, and I'm not getting a cut. Can you believe that?
You're not getting a cut.
I am a stable genius. I am a stable genius. I'm very, very stable. People say I'm not stable, but I'm stable. That's why I tell everyone I'm stable, and I'm a genius. You have to admit I'm a genius, right? You know me personally. Who's more of a genius than me? Nobody. Nobody.
Well,
I mean, look at Albert Einstein. His hair was a mess.
Well, speaking of selling t-shirts, you're also selling LGBTQ pride shirts. How did that happen?
Well, you know what? I'll sell anything, really, when you get right down to it. So.
Okay. Well, listen, I heard that you're taking the whole family to England, but only Ivanka has a role in the administration. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, you know what? Ivanka's amazing. And a lot of people don't know this. You know this, but I don't pay her. Did you know that? That she works for free? Did you know that?
No, I actually did not know she worked for free.
Oh, you didn't know that? Every day, take your daughter to work day with me. Let me tell you. It's such a great deal.
I love
such
that.
Such a great deal. Yes, and we've got, what's his name? Jared. He's with her. You know, we're going to eventually get rid of him. And finally, us two are going to get married once they repeal the stupid laws.
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and you guys are going to Tokyo, and you guys are watching a sumo match, I heard.
Right. Isn't that great? And they told me I have to sit on the ground cross-legged like a little Indian. I said, nope, sorry, not going to happen. Not going to happen. I want a chair.
Why?
So they got me a chair. Isn't that great?
That's very cool. But why do you like sumo matches so much?
Well, the guys are a little heftier. And I think I can relate to that, if you know what I mean. Even though I'm very young and very in shape, but there's something about two overgrown men in diapers pushing each other around. I don't know. I get a weird feeling in my stomach. I don't know what it is.
Now, I do want to say, just to be safe, I don't think you're supposed to say sitting Indian style. I think that might be offensive.
Oh, okay. Indian style. How about Indian style? Is that it? That's what they said in the movies when I was growing up. beaten up as a kid.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, well, tell us about what you have going on for the rest of the week. Talk to us a little bit.
Well, we're going to get rid of all the Democrats. We're going to have a one-party system, which we should have had from the beginning.
Oh, perfect.
It's going to be great. And William Barr, late last night, I have empowered him to investigate Hillary and to investigate Obama, Barack, all these people, and then, you know, McCabe and Comey and whoever it is. It's going to be a big investigation, and then I'm going to win, and then I think we're going to have a coronation. We're just going to make me President Trump, and it's going to be president for life, and we can stop all these stupid investigations because, you know, you can't do an investigation and do infrastructure. You can't do two things at the same time. The government doesn't work that way.
Well, I want to ask you, Pete Buttigieg was talking about you a few days ago to the Washington Post, and he said that he doesn't really believe that you're dealing with a disability that made it so you couldn't serve in the war. How do you feel about that?
Listen. He doesn't know what Pete, what does that guy know? Listen, I had bone spurs 5 times, and through the miracle of God, they disappeared. So that's what it is. These were horrible burn spurs. Look it up. Look it up in medical guides and things. And they have a photo of me, and they say, wow, his bone spurs disappeared. That never happened before. And that's the power of prayer. The power of prayer. So important.
You really are such a man of God, and we get that from your Twitter every single day.
I love Jesus, and I recently found out I was Jewish during Easter, but no one ever told me before, and I think that's great. I think the Jews should really push the Jesus thing, being Jewish.
I love that. Okay, well, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to let us know? Is there anything you need to talk about?
I want to wish everyone a very, very happy Memorial Day, but I won't be speaking because I'm going to be in Japan, but 4th of July, I'm making a big speech in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and it's going to be 4th of July, because they don't usually do anything at 4th of July in D.C., but for the first time ever, I'm hiring people, we're going to have fireworks and an orchestra, and I'm going to talk. Because I don't get to talk a lot.
And will there be hamburgers there?
Oh, absolutely. And hot dogs and anything you want. Soy dogs for those people who are a little vegan-y, whatever they need.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just want a lot of people there. More people than the inauguration.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
That's right. This is The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon. If we sound familiar, that means you have had too much caffeine. We're no one. No, I'm kidding. Michaela Gordon, by the way, was watching Drag Race last night. You went to the finale. I think there's a good screenshot of you.
I'm going to guarantee
from a commercial of the finale.
I'm going to guarantee you that I am definitely part of the finale.
Because you sat in good picture seats, as they call them.
Because if you think I'm not going to get myself on camera at a Drag Race finale, you are sadly mistaken, honey. I walked right up there. I mean, granted, somebody brought me up there, Chester and Todrick. But I sat there and I gave the best acting face, hunty.
Good.
So hopefully I'll be, too, a part of the Drag Race finale.
That's right. Well, this weekend I'm heading on over to Palm Springs, so I'm going to miss the drag cons, but I encourage you to stop on over to our booth because there's going to be a lot to do. It's going to be very interactive, and it's booth, what is it, 1527. Don't forget that number, and of course we're going to have all the information on We Are Channel Q, at We Are Channel Q on social media. That being said, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, just when you thought it was over, the case of Jussie Smollett heats back up as a judge in Chicago has ordered the file in the Jussie Smollett criminal case unsealed. Now, Cook County Judge Stephen Watkins made the decision on Thursday, saying Smollett did not have a right to privacy anymore because both he and his lawyers have spoken in the media about the case. Now, Cook County State's attorney has said it will release them by June 3rd. Watkins said that while there are good arguments in favor of keeping the file sealed, the actor forfeited his rights to keep the case sealed to protect his privacy by talking to the media before and after prosecutors dismissed the charges against him. Now, Smollett had been charged with 16 counts, alleging he lied to police when reporting he'd been the victim of a racist anti-gay attack in January. Prosecutors dropped all charges with little explanation in March and a sensational decision that prompted accusations of special treatment. Smollett paid $10,000 in bond, forfeiture, and did 16 hours of community service.
This is going to get so juicy again.
It really is. But now, speaking of juicy, you have a lot going on, and I want to throw it to you because I want you to tell us what's happening in the world of Lexus.
This is Out and About with Lexus, brought to you by Lexus. Now, here is what is going on this week right here at home in Los Angeles. It's DragCon. That's right, DragCon, where all the drag queens and LGBTQ businesses and LGBTQ-friendly businesses will descend upon the Los Angeles Convention Center, which is 1201 South Figueroa Street in Los Angeles, California. I want to give a big shout out to our listeners here in LA on 97.1 HD2. If you want more information about that, all you have to head on over to our website. All these stories will be listed there. If you live in the Los Angeles area, we can give you your in to DragCon by giving you the information that'll be there. Tickets are available at the door, and a lot of the panels and all the talkbacks are first come, first serve, so you want to make sure you get there early. And by the way, dress to impress, honey, because the queens will be out in full force. And if you didn't come dressed, don't worry. A lot of vendors are there to provide you with some sparkle or accessories that might just up your look. Now, heading on over to Palm Springs 103.1. What's up, the new Channel Q? The Comedy Madness series is happening. The comedy series will be taking place at the Hotel Zozo in Palm Springs. That's 150 South Indian Canyon Drive. It is an incredible comedy show, and you do not want to miss it, Palm Springs. It's going to be happening this weekend, so make sure you get your tickets. Heading on over to San Francisco. San Francisco, our listeners there on 97.3 HD2 can enjoy on the 26th of May at 9:30 a.m. The Grand Parade kicks off for Carnival on 24th and Bryant Streets in the heart of the Mission in San Francisco. Head on over to carnivalsanfrancisco.org/parade for more information about that. Now, Boston 103.3 HD2, Boston Calling Music Festival takes place this weekend at Harvard Athletic Complex in Alston, now featuring artists including Logic, Brandi Carlile, Churches, Betty Who, and Tank and the Bangas. Now, tickets are available at bostoncalling.com. This is Jay, and I'm going to be out and about this weekend in my 2019 Lexus RC 350 F Sport. Make your day amazing, experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Oh, that's better. See? All I needed was a little bit of caffeine in the system, and I feel a little better.
How do you feel? So good?
Yeah, just did my little caffeine and my almond milk. I'm off the dairy and the gluten.
Are you still?
Permanently.
Well, because you're getting ready. I want everybody to know you're doing Broadway Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to do a big splash on it, I think, first week June, and do about 2 weeks of fundraising for it. I get real aggressive with it.
You do? Aggressive yeah. How? Like, you're like, everyone needs to come.
No, because you're asking for money for HIV/AIDS in an oversaturated month. Broadway Bears in New York is your competition and AIDS life cycle.
Oh.
So you have thousands of people asking for money for the same cause. So you have to kind of get a little creative.
Definitely.
So I end up usually like selling like, I'll like buy a bunch of jock straps and sign them, take a picture of them and sell them for like $500 a pop. And so I was like, I think I raised I don't know, like over $5,000.
I love gay culture. The fact that you were just like, I get jock straps, I sign them, and I sell them for $500.
How about
like,
this?
Like, what hetero can
say
that?
Do you want me to really?
Sweeten the deal.
Two women were the women who bought them.
Stop it.
For $500 each.
They love you.
Crazy.
Straight women love you. It's so interesting, actually. Straight women have crushes on you. I've never seen such a thing.
I'm very hot in straight culture and about a C- in gay culture. Now, speaking of grading things, GLAAD report, you know, GLAAD Media, basically, is like they're basically responsible for correct representation of our community in print, any kind of media, print, TV, film, and they've got great relationships with the big studios. Now, there's about seven large studios that are still left in the system, you know, Paramount, MGM, all that kind of stuff, Sony. And they made about 110 films in 2018, 110 major, huge films. And about 18.2%, almost 20%, had LGBTQ characters. But to break that down, basically 11 films last year had gay characters, 11 out of 110. 11 films had lesbian characters out of 110. 3 films had bisexual characters out of 110. And 0 film had any transgender characters for the second year in a row. This omission has occurred. Now, while we may see a rise in visibility in transgender actors on television, apparently it's not necessarily making its way into motion pictures. Does this surprise you?
Oh, God. Does it surprise me? No, it does not surprise me. I feel like our trans community is so often left out of so many things. I mean, it's literally a fight we've been having forever and ever and ever. It always goes back to Stonewall, you know, and like how long it's been that they've had visibility. I do think, though, that people are trying to take initiative to bringing visibility, particularly people like Lena Waithe. I know that they're trying to write a lot for our trans community as well. So hopefully this year it'll be a little bit different.
Do you know some tea? I don't know. I didn't know Lena Waithe was writing trans characters.
Yeah, she is. Yeah,
what show?
She is. I read something.
She's got 18 million new shows that we don't even talk about yet that
exactly.
She's working on. Yet.
Exactly. And within one of those 18 million, she's bringing visibility to trans characters.
But and by the way, so I don't know if it's TV or film, though, because I think she's most known for TV right now. But
I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't get into film.
Yeah.
But I think that really all this takes is just a little acknowledgement. I think that our community has been really good about trying to bring our trans community in and get them involved.
By the way, this is why visibility, let's talk about why visibility is important. Here's the thing. If you don't see yourself reflected, imagine, close your eyes and imagine an ethnicity or sexual orientation different than your own. Now imagine that was 95% of all the programming you had to watch was something that you did not see yourself reflected in. So these communities, which are now not necessarily minorities anymore, whether it's people of color or LGBTQ folks, the reason why shows like Queer Eye, the first one I was on, were the first all-gay cast in network history is because people didn't want us in that space. But what it did was, in many ways, show people, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, I'm reflected in this space. Oh my God, it's safer for me to come out. Oh my God, my son, my uncle's gay. It closed the gap between gay and straight. And that's just one instance. But if you are struggling and you don't see yourself reflected anywhere, not in your home life, not in your church, but you do in media and you see your story being told, it does make you feel like you're being seen.
Yeah.
And that's all we really want.
That is. But I think that also us just bringing this up and just having the Advocate do this article, I think we've gotten to a place where, you know, for example, when I go home and I say to Lisa, you know, Lisa, I don't like when you don't say hello and hug me right when I walk into the door.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm like, don't talk to me. I've literally been talking all morning. I need 30 minutes to myself.
Got it.
No, but if I said to Lisa, hey, I would like for you to hug and kiss me right when I walk in the door, she'd be like, I had no idea. Perfect. Let me do that. I feel like we're at a place within our own community where we can say, like, we would like more trans characters played in movies. And
here's why
specifically, do something about it.
Trans people are just slowly trying to be erased from our society via this Trump administration, whether it is denying them access, the ability to serve our country in the military, whether it's denying them access for homeless shelters. Homeless shelters saying they are allowed to legally turn away trans people at homeless shelters.
Yeah.
That's how bad it's gotten. But the more we are visible, the more we stand up, the more you see us, you cannot pretend that we do not exist.
Well, and what's exciting is, on that note, Pose is coming back June 11th on FX. So I'm thankful for those shows that are bringing visibility to our community. And I'm thankful for the writers that are continuing to write. And I'm happy that these characters are being played by trans women and trans men. You know, my favorite show, The L Word, they just came out with The Q Generation. That's what that show is going to be. That's what this new L Word revise is going to be. And when I was looking, you know, I'm obsessed with trying to be in the show. And my manager said, girl, I love you, but there's no roles for you. Really, there's a lot of trans characters that are being asked to come in and be played. So I think there's going to be a lot of visibility on the L Word.
I think there is a trans woman and a trans man as
series
regulars.
And I was like,
well,
I can play that. Just get me on the show.
I know.
Got
you know
it?
What's so funny is, like, literally now all cisgendered actors are like, mm-mm, I'm good. Like, I've played a trans woman before, but I would never be able to now, nor would I want to. I do not want to take opportunities away from people who don't get seen as often as I get seen for roles. But I tell you what, though, what an interesting experience it was to be super woke about trans culture and being on set with people who had no idea.
Yeah.
So you're literally working off someone's Jerry Springer idea. Or drag race. They don't know what you are. And when you know so intrinsically the subtle nuances of what the character needs, whether it's wardrobe, how they'd be styled, have they had electrolysis, like whatever it is, I knew all that information. And it was very difficult to get hair, makeup, wardrobe, and the director on the same page on what this character was, because no one was educated about what the trans experience was like.
Yeah, trans is nothing like drag. It's actually very, very natural glam, very natural.
Or none at all. You know what I mean? It's like it ranges the spectrum, but they were very much in their logic that they really just assumed that each person in every department felt like they knew what was up. And I ended up being this hodgepodge of different things. I made it work. But anyway, listen, studios, we could do better. Let's all try to be way more inclusive with our storytelling so that our audiences are reflected on the screen.
That's right. All right, coming up, selfie school. Selfie school. Are people really going to school to take a selfie? Hear about this story next for the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
You know, he just has one of those kind of faces like my grandma used to say that you just want to... Oh, I can't say on air. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to talk about senior citizens.
Oh.
How many seniors do you have in your life currently?
I have a lot of seniors in my life.
Who are they? Talk to me about
them. My grandma, Vivian.
Wait, hey, Viv. She's the sassy one, right? Okay.
Viv is awful. I don't know what her... So my grandma, Vivian, is one of my favorite people in the whole world. Hi, Vivian Cavaricci. She'd like that if she could hear right now.
Aw.
But she, as she's gotten older, she's like full of sass. Not a lot of class. I mean, just doesn't care. I have my Zia Marietta.
Are you heading in that direction?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
I feel like
I'm
going to be Vivian at like 50.
Saying whatever you want.
No, no, no.
Whenever.
There's no stopping her.
Oh, I
love. Do you know
it.
That Lisa's mother, my nephew's birthday was a couple weeks ago. So mm-hmm. Lisa's mom went, Lisa went.
Yeah.
I pick up my grandma because Great. She can't drive. Mm-hmm. We all go to my nephew's birthday. My grandma's sitting there. We've been there for an hour. She goes, okay, I want to go home. And we were like,
first of all, I'm already a fan.
I was like, Grandma, we're not going home yet. Like, we've literally been here for an hour. She's like, nope, I'm going home. So she gets herself up to go home. As we're driving home, she goes, I didn't really have that much fun. I said, Vivian.
I'm obsessed with her.
Pull it together. You're in front of Lisa's mom. Now, Lisa's mom thinks it's really funny.
Yeah.
So I'm like, here, Grandma. It was right around Easter. So I said, here, Grandma, just have a peep. She goes, oh, I love peeps. They're so good. I'm fat. I said, Grandma, you're not fat. And then I had one. She goes, well, you're going to get fat, too.
So what's her relationship with technology? If she's a sassy, does she own a cell phone?
No. She can barely hear. When you call her, she's screaming at you.
Yeah, yeah. You're just you're Ethel Merman-ing her, just giving her, playing to the bleachers.
Screaming
to the balcony.
My voice is tired after I get to talking to her.
Well, a lot of seniors, you know, they have to communicate, and so they've gotten smartphones and stuff. I think it's like 4 out of 10 now seniors have a smartphones on their person at all times. And so there's this really cute club booth photo selfie studio, and the owner now has a selfie class for seniors.
Oh, that's so cute.
So teach them how to not just operate the camera, but the best angles for them, because as they want to stay connected with their grandkids easily and accessibly.
I love that.
Or maybe even Snapchat. I mean, some of the best videos I've seen online are where seniors see the different filters on Snapchat. And they watch themselves turn into like a dog. And all that. It's really cute. But basically, it's about 2 hours long. The seniors learn how to shoot selfies with their smartphones while posing in front
two
of colorful.
Hours.
Could you? Well, listen, it's seniors. It's not a quick fix situation. But anyway, it's an adorable thing. And I love that they're doing this at the club photo booth selfie studio. The owner said he really wanted to bridge the gap between seniors and social media.
I think that's so cute. I do, because honestly, sometimes my Zia Marietta, hey Zia, she sends me a photo. Her head is completely cut off, honey. I mean, there's no face.
We have
there.
A lot of friends to this station who are big pop stars.
Yeah.
Me out of commercial because I'm gonna say the pop star's name and I'm gonna get fired. Well, RuPaul's Drag Race aired their reunion special. It was good fodder for me because I host the Dance Moms reunion specials. I've got two more coming up, so it was giving me a little bit of an inkling as to what I might experience. Although I have a feeling that the Dance Moms will out drama the ladies we saw sitting across from each other on RuPaul's Drag Race reunion special yesterday.
I feel like the Dance Moms are way harsher than RuPaul's Drag Race.
Because their kids are invested. It's not just them, you know?
But also those mothers wanted to be stars and they weren't, so now their kids are. So it's also a lot of that, too. They're like, I want to be famous. I'm going to get my 5 minutes of fame in this reunion right now.
I shall not confirm nor deny that. I don't want them to pluck my eyes out. Now, listen, here's the deal. We've got our Drag Race aficionado, our pop culture expert, the one and only Toni Moore, who joins us on Fridays. Today's going to be via phone. Just recapping last night's reunion show, so welcome back at Lounge with Toni. Toni Moore.
Hey, beautiful.
Good morning. Good morning.
Everyone.
Oh, I hope I don't sound like I have like morning voice. Like I've been sitting here like practicing my voice to make sure it doesn't sound like morning.
No, it sounds
very... You sound like a delightful afternoon.
Yeah, you sound like you could repair some stuff. There's some heft to it, like some bass notes to it. Yeah.
Ooh, hey, thank you.
So let's talk about some of the things that stood out for me were the transformations. Now, you know, the show was shot probably over 6 months ago and the ladies returned back to see Rue. And during that time, many of them have been traveling the road and got a little more coin in their pocket. So listen to this audio and then I'm going to ask you how you feel about this and per your current experience about what some of the drag queens do after they leave the race while they're touring but before the reunion. Have a listen.
What do you think is different?
Are your teeth new?
Is the camera on?
Yes, Mama Day.
They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. And you know, there's a little filler, but you know, who doesn't?
Girl, did you tie your laces? Yes. Did you get a filler? Girl, good. It is like saying hello and goodbye. These days, that is the norm.
Yes, of course.
So if you ain't feeling, bitch, you ain't winning. So come on.
So, Toni, the question is, do a lot of the girls, do you notice in your experience with them up close and personal, a lot of the girls, after they leave the race, get a couple little touch-ups here and there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There are quite a few girls that have done that. Like, the first person that comes to mind is Jiggly Caliente.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when she started getting a little coin, she made sure those teeth got fixed.
Uh-huh.
But also, Vanjie is kind of an exception because Vanjie was on season 10. So she had garnered a lot of popularity during then. So, of course, you know, she goes and films season 11. And then she was able to, like, probably get a little more snatched than others. Those season 11 girls, they had to sit there and be real quiet and real humble until they finally announced that they're on season 11. So I think it's a lot more for them to deal with than anything.
Speaking of that, you know, that's exactly what happened with Brooklyn Heights and Vanjie. Vanjie was already touring the world while she had just come off the show with Brooklyn Heights, but Brooklyn couldn't say she was on the show yet. So have a listen. We pulled some audio about how they define the state of their relationship at the moment, and then I want to talk about it.
Now, the world is dying to know. Are you two still a couple? No, we're not. Why not? We dated for about 4 months after the show, and we tried to make it work, but our schedules were just very different. He was traveling all the time. I wasn't traveling at all, so we never really saw each other. And the number one thing that's always been really important to me is my freedom. I've always wanted to be free and be able to do what I want to do. So to factor somebody else into my life and plans and just have that feeling like I could never look at somebody else and find them attractive or never like flirt with somebody else was really scary for me. And that kind of, I was starting to feel really stifled.
Right. So I guess my question to you guys, both Michaela and Toni, is do you think this was an issue of Brooklyn Heights knew the show would raise her visibility and she wanted that like ho phase from being famous? Or do you think she just wasn't that interested in Vanjie?
Listen, in my experience, and I'll just say this quickly, when I was on American Idol, people get bored. You're secluded from the outside world. So contestants start falling for each other because they have nothing else to do. I mean, granted, you're on the biggest competition in the world, but you're craving that intimacy. So you guys hook up.
But the funny thing is that they didn't even have sex during that. They weren't allowed. They were separated.
Yeah. I mean, of course. But at least you can like get that cue
flirting
in. And then when you're done, you're like, okay, honey, that was really fun, but I'm back into the real world.
So, Toni, was that the reason why this Kai Kai did not continue? What do you think?
See, I was confused listening to it because it sounded like as Vanjie was traveling, she was just like realizing that she was kind of in this relationship and she wasn't able to flirt with anyone else or like be with anyone else because the person that she's with was traveling.
Right.
Did y'all get that same message?
I got the Brooklyn Heights was kind of like, I'm a free spirit and we weren't together and I already have an issue with monogamy and now she's not even here with me. And so, but apparently they patch things up and they're still friends and there's a lot of love in that space. So
I think eventually once they get everything together and figured out, I think they'll actually give it another try.
I think that's,
they still have a lot of love for each other.
I think that's what Rue was trying to get to. She was pushing for that comment. So what else really stuck out for you, Tony? Because it seems like Akira, Silky, they all kind of took some punches as well.
Yeah. Well, one thing that stood out for me was Raja being able to kind of explain herself. Because I think that we all viewed her as a villain at some point, because she had a lot of attitude and a lot to say, and she was just very frustrated with a lot of people. But I think at this reunion, I kind of feel like she redeemed herself a little bit by just kind of explaining how the competition got her and that she realized some things about herself by watching herself on TV. So I liked that she was able to have that moment.
Right.
I also like that we finally got an explanation about these wigs.
Oh, the origin of the wigs that were left behind and the intention of, like, who was supposed to take them, if anyone.
Well, apparently, she left them there by accident.
Yep.
No one was supposed to take one. But then there was this whole Twitter, this tweet that was brought up where she was like, oh, you know, Plastique was supposed to have one. But then she was saying, oh, but I was trying to help her in the situation. But then Silky pointed out, like, wait, so were you trying to help her when you came back or with the tweet? Because that's definitely a time difference.
Yeah.
So I still feel like Wiggate is literally up in the air.
Well, you better find out this weekend at DragCon. Y'all both going. Let me round things out. We have to go in a minute. Nina West thanked RuPaul for RuPaul's impact on not just Nina West personally as a young boy growing up seeing someone that was queer. But did you catch that moment? Because it was kind of like a very sweet, she kind of forced Rue to take a compliment. It was long and drawn out in a perfect way. I thought the language around it was good, and it seemed like the first time in Drag Race history that I felt like, oh, that was classy to thank Rue in that
way. Nina's so classy though.
Yes, she's so sweet, and I think she really showed Rue the impact that he has had on her since she was a young queer boy, and how I think that respect for him kind of shaped him to be the out loud and proud person that he is now.
Well, Tony Moore, we love you so much. We'll see you in studio next week when we recap the finale. Ooh.
Yes. Thanks, Tony.
Ooh, I cannot wait.
Have a great Memorial Day week. Love you too.
Love you too, babe. Bye.
Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
This morning's already juicy. Are you enjoying your juice this morning, Michaela?
I'm enjoying my tea this morning. It's piping hot. Ooh,
the behind the scenes this morning in studio are pretty epic. And all in preparation for the great guests that we've got coming up for you. You want to keep it locked here all morning long, because coming up in just a little bit, the next hour, we're going to be joined by two of our faves, Mateo Lane and, of course, Emma Willman. They're hilarious comics. Both have like massive specials that they've done for things like Netflix and stuff. And now they've got this podcast together. I think it's called Out of the Closet. It's really funny.
In the closet,
In the closet. Maybe it's in the closet. I can't remember. It's in the closet. You're probably right. And I think many times they're in different cities. I think Emma's LA and he is in New York. And so they do this podcast like via FaceTime, and it is hilarious. But anyway, they're going to be joining us in our next hour. But this hour, really thrilled because there's this Lifetime movie, Harry and Meghan Becoming Royal. It's going to air on Lifetime May 27th, Monday, perfect in time for Memorial Day if you want to lay on the couch and cuddle up and watch a really fun movie. But we've got Tiffany Smith, who plays Meghan Markle. She's going to be joining us in just a little bit, and it'll be fun to kind of quiz her about what it was like embodying someone who's so iconically in the media right now.
Well, I'm going to say this, it wasn't difficult because she looks exactly like her. It's unreal.
Can you imagine she walks in and it was all prosthetics and she like looks nothing like her? She looks like you.
Can you imagine that I'm literally going to tell every single person that Meghan Markle actually came into Channel Q today? I'm not even going to say Tiffany Smith. I'm saying it's Meghan Markle.
Let me tell
Thank you.
All I want her to do is wear a crown when she comes in. And then rounding out the hour, we're going to have Marty Gold Cummings. He is this fabulous drag queen in New York, very political. But during his brand show, he had a kid come in, a little kid, and he did Baby Shark. for the little kid, you know, at his drag show. Well, that video went viral, and then he went and produced a full music video with him singing the Baby Shark song, which did really well as well. So he's going to be coming on and chat with us about that experience. But for now, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, Brazil's highest court took a decisive step Thursday toward protecting LGBT people from discrimination amid a spike in reported attacks since President Jair Bolsonaro began his right-wing campaign last year. Now, a majority of the 11-member Supreme Federal Court voted to find it unconstitutional to exclude sexual orientation and gender from Brazil's anti-discrimination law. Bolsonaro is not an ally to the community at all, as he has said that if one of his sons were gay, he'd rather he be dead. Now, last month, he discouraged gay tourists from visiting the country and told journalists that Brazil cannot become known as a gay paradise. Brazil led the world in transgender homicides with 171 in 2017, the last year for which statistics are available, according to the organization Trans Europe. Now, someone is killed in a homophobic attack here every 16 hours, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights reported. However, Brazil's LGBT community has secured major victories through the Supreme Court, including the right to marry in 2013 and to legally change names and genders in 2018. But the country's anti-discrimination law explicitly covered only discrimination committed on the basis of race until now. All right, moving on. The L Word is coming back this year, a decade after the original series ended its run. News dropped earlier this year that the reboot was a sure thing and that original stars Jennifer Beals, Lisha Haley, and Kate Moaning, I love you, were all returning as actors and as executive producers. Now Showtime has revealed that the reboot will be called The L Word Generation Q, according to Deadline, featuring Michaela Gordon. While groundbreaking in its own right, the original L Word made missteps around bisexual and trans identities and was not as racially diverse as LGBTQ inclusive shows that have come after, like Orange is the New Black, signaling that the new series intends to thoughtfully depict various identities. Last month, the show put out a casting call for trans actors. There was no indication of how pivotal the roles would be, but it's an important step for a series that was called out for transphobia during its original run. Generation Q will shoot in Los Angeles this summer and is set to premiere in the fall. The pilot is directed by executive producer Steph Green, who's directed episodes of The Americans, The Man in the High Castle, and You're the Worst. All right, you guys, well, we are so proud of the pride L Word is showing. And speaking of pride, thanks to Channel Q and Schafferhofer Pomegranate Grapefruit, they want to send you and a friend to the biggest pride party in the world, New York City Pride, June 27th through the 30th. They're going to take care of your airfare, your hotel stay. All you have to do is head on over to We Are Channel Q, and that way you can sign up and have the opportunity to celebrate your pride and unleash your pride.
What about DragCon? Are you going to be at DragCon?
You
tell
guys,
them about DragCon.
Here's a great thing about DragCon. The thing about DragCon is it's going to be DragCon. And
can you just be honest? What are you wearing? Give them something to look forward to.
Listen, you can always look forward to me being a good time, all right?
Because you dress extra all the time, but this is literally DragCon.
Like, honey, I
don't even know if you have something in your closet to match the, I mean, you'll build something, I'm
sure. Here's what you're going to get. 1527. That's all you get.
That's
if you
want
to see the look, honey, I will meet you at that booth.
All right. Here's what time are you going to be there? When are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there at noon.
Okay, on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Okay.
I'll be there all day.
Okay.
But she's serving such a look that if you miss it, I am not posting it until Tuesday when we get back to studio.
Ooh.
This is not something you want to miss, honey. She is serving. She is gagging. She is gooping. And you are going to be very impressed. 1527. Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon. Now our next guest is going to have to go by a different name probably for the rest of her life because she's taking on a very iconic role. She's going to be playing Meghan Markle in Lifetime's Harry and Meghan Becoming Royal. It's going to air on Lifetime this Monday, May 27th. By the way, you have seen her on so many things from hosting shows like DC Daily, the CW's Fan Talk, Flash and Fan Feast, and AMC's Geeking Out alongside Kevin Smith and Greg Grunberg. I mean, you really, you paved the way, but here you are in your first starring role. So Tiffany Smith, welcome to the Morning Beats.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I have to say, you really do look like royalty. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, something I love is that you're a self-proclaimed glamorous geek. I don't even know what that. There's nothing geeky about you, honey. You're like a queen. What does that mean?
So I grew up reading comic books and playing video games. And so there's this side of me that obviously loves all that kind of geek world stuff. I moved to LA and started working for G4 when I first got here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Attack of the Show. Yeah. And then I love fashion. And so for me, it's like Comic-Con is one of my favorite weeks of the year because I get to mix fashion and geek stuff together. So it's like if I can wear something that has like a nod to a comic book character,
yeah,
then I'm even happier, especially if it's like a great designer. So I did the press week for Justice League mm-hmm. last year. And so every day I picked a different character where I was like, okay, today is a nod to Cyborg. And so I wore this like jumpsuit that had kind of like architectural metallic design on the side. And another day was all about Aquaman. So I did like an underwater dress. And so that's what I mean by glamorously geeky.
I love that.
Now, who's your favorite superhero?
Of all time? Like at some point in my life, I want to play Zatanna. She's a
Ooh.
Magician.
Yes.
She practices the dark arts within the DC universe. But if it were just, you know, I started out reading comic books because I remember my dad used to go on trips and he would bring back like dolls and action figures for me from other places where it was like, these are dolls that look more like you than Barbie or than any other character.
Yeah.
And then it kind of turned into, hey, let's watch this X-Men cartoon, and Storm was on there. And I remember being like, I love Storm. And he's like, well, if you like watching her weekly, here's where you can read about her all the time.
Well, let's dive right into the Harry and Meghan becoming royal. It's going to air on Lifetime. How did this come about for you? You really do have a strong resemblance to Meghan Markle.
Exactly alike.
And so who was cast first? You or the gentleman playing Harry? And what was the chemistry like for the two of you? Because it seems like that is everything in a film like this.
Yeah, I mean, so the breakdown came out and a friend of mine messaged me and was like, hey, if your team hasn't submitted you on this, they totally should. So I messaged my manager and he's like, absolutely, we already sent you in for it. So I went in and auditioned like anything else, went in for the first one, did the read. And then after I left, I was like, oh, forget about it kind of thing. Because that's kind of how
I always throw the sides right away. Yeah, just forget, move on.
You go in the first time. And then when I got the call back, that was when I was like, oh man, I really hope I get this one. Because there is kind of, like I said before, you know, I come from a multiracial family. And so their story has been so close to my heart and just feeling like it's been really cool to see their journey and then kind of talk with my parents about theirs as well. So getting to play this role has been such an honor. And it just feels like, you know, even if I get to play the tiniest piece of that life, it's incredible. So that happened. And then the chemistry. So we did not have a chemistry test.
Oh, it's just you show up and you're like, hey, hi, husband.
Yeah, we showed up in Vancouver and Charlie got cast out of London. I was obviously out of LA. And we met. And I remember as soon as we got there, I was like, we got to start hanging out. We have to really build this chemistry, because I think that's one of the biggest and like most beautiful pieces of them together.
100%.
Is that you just see them together and just they both emanate so much love that you're like, OK, how do we nail this where we feel comfortable enough that we can kind of step into that when we don't know each other at all? So I had a friend who had tickets to a Canucks game in Vancouver. And so I was like, do you want to go to a hockey game with me on Friday? And I immediately was like, oh my God, I'm that psycho girl that's like, do you want to hang out with me every second of every day?
You're like Michaela. Perfect. I get it. We're with Tiffany Smith, who plays Meghan Markle in the Lifetime movie, Harry and Meghan, airing this Monday on Lifetime. So talk to us a little bit about when you were on set. Was it the first time you were in a wedding dress?
It was the first time I was in a wedding dress. There might actually be two dresses in this You'll have to wait and see on Memorial Day. But yeah, it was the first time I'd ever worn a wedding dress. And
what was that
actually,
like?
It was so surreal because, you know, I got fit for it. I got measured in LA and they sent all the measurements up to Vancouver. And I got there and I was like, please let this dress actually fit. You know, they did the measurements right, but you're still like, you just never know.
You never
like,
know.
What it's going to look like when you get there. And I put it on and it was so stunning. And it's one of those things where the pictures of her are so iconic from the wedding in that like clean, simple, just like perfect dress. And when I put it on, I was like, oh my gosh, this is surreal and bizarre and wonderful all at the same time. And when I walked onto set the day we shot that stuff in the dress with the tiara, it was definitely an eerie vibe on set, just because of the fact that it was like that image is so iconic. Of course. So there was kind of like a hush when I walked in, and everyone was like, oh, wow, okay, we're really doing this. So
now I have a question. Meghan Markle, we love her, we adore her, but have you had the opportunity to talk with her, or do any kind of exchange with her before the movie?
I have not met her or had any exchange with her before. So a lot of it just kind of was from, you know, the script writer and taking what she had in the script and then watching stuff online. And, you know, I talk about it where it was, you know, I was a host for a really long time, but I kind of stayed within the geek world or action. Yeah. So I never did like a suit set visit or anything like that. And then by the time I started auditioning more for acting stuff, she was already, you know, married. Blown up on yeah. suits and then got married. And so we didn't cross paths in that space. But she's definitely an incredible role model. I just look at all the stuff she's doing where it's, you know, she's so much about women's empowerment, and there's so much about philanthropy and love and kindness. So it's been really cool to kind of take that on.
Part of you that's like nervous to portray someone that is actually still living?
Absolutely.
And like, do you think she'll watch it? Are you hoping for a tweet? Like, what do we think? I think she'd be flattered.
I think she's definitely tweeting you after this.
I think so too.
Just from all of the previews that I've seen, you look incredible. That moment where you're like running out in the gray sweater and then Harry's running after you and he grabs you and then you guys share that intimate kiss. I was like, I love this so much.
Oh, I love that. Thanks.
Yeah, it's great.
There's definitely pressure, you know, because like I said, I do have so much respect for them both as a couple, and that she's so incredible. So stepping into the role, there was a lot of, can I handle this? Where you're so excited about something and then you book it and you're like, oh my God, what did I just sign up for? So I really, like for me doing the movie, it's so uplifting and joy filled. And I hope that that's what people get from it when they watch it and just feel that love. And if they were to watch, which I can only speak for myself, that I'm an actress, and if there was a movie about me, I for sure would be watching it. So if they watch it, I really hope that they kind of get that same vibe where it's just, you know, we did have so much care and respect for both of them. And, you know, we can do the things that are out publicly, and then it's weaving that story in between. That's the part that we really trusted our director and writer and, you know, trusted that we were really trying to do something that was kind and sweet.
If you're just joining us, we're with Tiffany Smith. She plays Meghan Markle in Lifetime's Harry and Meghan Becoming Royal, which is going to air Monday on Lifetime, May 27th. Make sure you set your DVRs, get your gal pals, your guy pals around, get some drinks, and then watch this movie. This is going to be a really great, this is going to be one of those movies that's going to go down in an iconic way.
Now,
this couple is beloved.
I would like to cheers you because you are officially royalty, and at Channel Q we are
too. That's right.
Please cheers us. Pinkies
cheers.
Up. Yeah. Make sure that you watch cheers, our baby. Girl Tiffany Smith. You are now our friends and family here at Channel Q. Aww. And I cannot wait to share that beautiful intimate movie with you.
And we're
going to
take a
Day.
Picture just so you can see she really does quite we'll put it on We Are Channel Q.
It's
check our social.
Unreal.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Tiffany, for coming in. Come back whenever. And you're listening to the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks, you guys.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Michaela Gordon just made magic happen. Talk to us about this.
So basically, there's this app that...
which everyone needs to know about, because if you need to take a photo and you're unprepared... like we just were with our Tiffany Smith plays Meghan Markle.
Well, Jay is like a psychopath about people using filters, whereas I'm like, you better live your best filter life.
I just want to look like a human. Well, I don't want to look like a cartoon.
I think the people who look like cartoons look amazing. However, I have this app, and it just, if the lighting is terrible, because listen, this happens to me quite often. Mm-hmm. When I am doing... my computer was on. When you are in a situation where you're taking a photo with like fans or friends or a celebrity, and if the lighting's not right, or if you have no makeup
like
on, it just tunes up the lighting a little bit and it really helps. So I just did that for the photo that we took, and now I look beautiful.
Fantastic.
And I did for you too.
Is it a paid app or a free app that
no,
just makes
these
little tweaks?
App called 365, and I love it. It just like adds a little bit of makeup if you need, and it's perfect.
Cute.
Yeah.
Hey, so listen. We were talking the other day about how you recently did a gig with someone who was a very big Trump supporter.
Okay, so this is interesting.
And now he's making headlines.
So Christy Swanson says that she and co-star Dean Cain got death threats over a pro-Trump production. Now, Christy Swanson, famed for starring in the 1992 film version of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she said that she and Dean Cain have received death threats after over a live stage reading that they starred in, that they are actually going to be starring in next month because it supports Donald Trump. Now, Politico is reporting that the conservative actors are set to play former Trump Russia investigators Peter Strzok and Lisa Page in Washington, D.C. The performance entitled FBI Lovebirds Undercovers. The reading will pour over the FBI agents' text messages to each other, highlighting their extramarital affair and disdain for Trump. Now, Cain will play Strzok, while Swanson has been cast as Page. Now, I guess this this kind of broadens the topic. Do you think that you should be hated for what you do to make some coin?
First of all, I think death threats are so disgusting, and I would never would want anybody to suffer from death threats or any kind of online bullying
because of
or
their
anything.
Political association. Yeah.
Of course, because of your political association. I did work with Dean Cain over the weekend for a project that we're working on at the end of year. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, business is business. If we're hired to do a job together that has nothing to do with politics and simply is about entertainment, I feel it's very important that that is my job. It is my job to entertain you, as it is his job to entertain you. Mm-hmm. Do we agree politically on anything? No, we don't. But I do think that people should be respected. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's a tough situation because I worked with this person literally last week.
But you knew that he was a Trump supporter. I mean, it didn't affect your performance on the job site. But did you feel like uneasy or different or, you know?
It's a tough time right now because of the abortion ban, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very personal thing for women right now with the abortion ban. And he did post that he agrees with Alabama.
Ooh.
So there is a disagreement. However, it is my job and it is my job to be professional.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what I am in every workplace.
I told you about the time that I was on stage at this, real estate brokers, real estate mortgage bankers. So they're mortgage bankers for like big properties, commercial real estate, and all that stuff. And I was emceeing this event, Great Gatsby themed. Had a lovely time. The big organizer of the event comes on stage and shares. And mind you, there's like at least 1,000 people. It's in the round. I'm on stage. They finish their dinner. They're having their cocktails. They're ready for it to be done. He's giving the final speech. And he's like, and I know there's a lot of talk about Black Lives Matter. I look around. I realize, oh my God, wait. There's only 2 black people in the room. I'm the only beige and everyone else is white. And he literally gets up on stage and he's like, but shouldn't all lives matter? Thunderous applause. People jump to their feet. And there's little Puerto Rican Jay trembling, holding a mic like, I should really say something, but I really kind of need that paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, that's different, I think, because he brought the politics into your work
environment. Into your work. And then you're just co-signing by standing next to them.
Right. Had Dean made a political comment on camera while we were hosting the event together,
yeah, she would have been like, oh, no, sis.
I would have been more inclined because you know how I am. But it wasn't. Honestly,
would you
it was
have
a Christmas special.
Unclipped your weave? Plucked out a lash, let them know you mean business.
Well, that is my sign for meaning business.
That's when you're about.
I unpluck one lash, I rip out one weave, and I take off my pantyhose.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I love when my friends do big things, and our next guest is doing just that. They are an exceptional drag artist, but not only that. Literally, Marty is the founding president of Hell's Kitchen's Democrats in New York City and is currently on the board of members of the Manhattan Community Board. 9 having been appointed by the Bureau President of Manhattan, currently serving a 2-year term on the mayor of New York City's Nightlife Advisory Council. And if that's not enough, they were honored by Out Magazine in the 2018 Out 100 list, huge, and won the Glam Award for Entertainer of the Year in 2019. Also nominated for a Queerty Award and received the Luminary Award for Dedication to Homeless LGBTQ Youth by the Ali Forney Center. It has been an incredible journey for our next performer and thrilled to have them on to talk about everything that they're doing. Marty Gold Cummings, welcome to the Morning Beats.
So basically, you've done nothing, Marty.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a wow, cool, thanks.
You have a lot going on amazing. Since I've seen you last, babe.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day in LA.
It is a gorgeous day in LA. Cool. We were in studio and I saw your baby shark video that went viral, the drag brunch. I think it was brunch.
Dying.
And
it was that drag brunch. I was just talking to my best friend Dustin literally 3 minutes ago about how Baby Shark has changed my life.
Wait, so what happened? Break it down for us. How did that all come to be?
Well, I think this is a testament to the power of the internet, how it can be used for good or bad, right? Yeah. So, like, it's a two-hour brunch show. We've all been to drag brunch. We know it's a good time. And because it's a daytime show, a lot of families come.
Right.
And there was this cute little kid, Brody. He's so sweet. His mom and I email all the time now. And he was just watching the show, and I was like, oh my gosh, this poor kid is watching me, like, throw myself around to Lady Gaga all day. Let's do something for him. And he, of course, you know, loves Baby Shark. So we did it, and somebody sent me the 20-second video, and I put it on my Twitter. I was like, I never really post videos on Twitter.
Sure.
So I was like, I'll just put it here, whatever. And then I'm at my friend's house for seeing their one-year-old twins after brunch. And I'm at their house, and I showed them this video, and I was like, oh, this has 10,000 views. That's kind of weird. So then we're just making fun, like, oh my gosh, I'm viral. And then by the time I leave their house, it has 250,000 views.
Oh my God.
And we were like, what just happened?
Wow.
And it became this, like, thing where then we made a music video, and then Congresswoman AOC shared that video, so that became a whole other push.
Wow.
So it shows, like, the good of the internet that, like, you know, you can showcase good things. But the negative side is Breitbart News really loves to write shit about me now. And the right wing of America has a lot of opinions about me.
And drag and children, I know. We report on it all the time.
Well, it's so funny. I showed it to my niece. My niece loved it. And I was like, that's how I know you're really my niece. Good for you.
So, Marnie, I want to talk about you, because last I saw you in New York, it was quite a few years ago, but you've really been involved quite heavily in politics. What was the passion that ignited that for you?
Oh, I love politics, and I think we have to go and, like, F up the system, which I think is, like, great. Like, I love seeing, like, Elizabeth Warren, all of her policies, and AOC, and Omar, and all these, like, young women in Congress who are just really shaking it up. I got involved in politics. It was literally the moment that I decided I have to be in politics is the minute Donald Trump came down the escalator and said that an entire group of people was drug dealers and rapists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's first of all, that's blatant racism.
Right.
You can't categorize a whole, like, that's horrific. And you're in your, like, shitty gilded lobby talking like such a prick. You know, I'm sorry, I'm cursing a lot.
I know, but, I'm like, we have to bleep you every single time.
sorry.
Right.
But I just was like, this is wrong, you know? Yeah. And so I started incorporating political humor into my shows more. And I made a joke about Kellyanne Conway, and an owner of one of my bars said, you make me feel uncomfortable as a voter, and you're scaring straight clientele away. And I was like, well, girl, I'm in a gay bar, which is, like, all people are welcome. I love our straight allies, but this is a safe space for queer people who need a place where they can go seek refuge.
Totally.
And I was like, if you feel uncomfortable as a voter, that means you voted for somebody who directly is working against the needs of the LGBTQ people, especially transgender people and transgender women of color. And I was like, I can't work here anymore.
Right.
And I quit. And then I wanted to get involved, and I started this Democratic Club, which took out the oldest political institution in the entire state of New York.
Wow.
Which I didn't think that would happen. I think the funny thing about it is, like, all these political people have been trying to do stuff like that for a long time. And I just was like, well, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then it just happened. And so now the political, you know, people are like, who's this drag queen? I'm like, well, I'm the queen who's going to run for office and get you all to do your job.
Word.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we are with Marty Goldcummings. I love you. Now, I'm going to be at Drag Con. My booth is 1527. Is that anywhere near you? Because I have to see you. And I know a lot of people listening want to see you as well.
And you're hosting a panel too, right?
I'm hosting a panel. Yeah, I'm going to be at booth 1128 with my friends from Gay Pins. They make really awesome little pins.
Nice.
They made a cute Vote for Marty pin. That will be available. But booth 1128, and then I'm going to be doing a panel called Activate Your Activism, and it's going to be on Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Charisma Room. And I was on a panel at the New York Drag Con with Swing Left, but now I'm really honored that they asked me to moderate this one. And we're going to talk to the young kids. You know, Drag Con is a lot of young people, you know, people who may be voting for the first time or may have never been exposed to politics in a way that they can relate to. So my goal with this is to get young people to know that, like, their voice does matter. Like, we always say, oh, the Electoral College, you know, screws things up. But, like, your vote really does matter, because at the end of the day, yes, presidential elections are important, but we have to take back the Senate. That's not Electoral College based. Mm-hmm. We have to take back the Senate so we can put in place checks and balances. And we have to vote on state and local levels. Like, I'm about to launch my it's not a secret. I'm about to launch my campaign for city council in New York. I think it's because, like, at the city level, whether it's a large city like New York City or a small city like Springfield, wherever, what happens at the local level affects people's day-to-day life.
That's right.
And if we can elect people with progressive values on local, state, and federal levels, we can combat what's happening in this country. And I want this panel to be a way for young people to hear that message.
Marty Goldcummings, never enough time with you. I'm so proud of all the incredible work that you're doing. You're such
thanks,
a rock star in the community. We talk about you a lot on air. Continue doing
thanks.
The great work. And if you are at DragCon this week in Los Angeles, don't forget to see them at 3 p.m. in the Charisma Room, did you say?
Yes.
All right, Marty, we'll talk to you very soon.
That's right. We love you, Marty.
Thank you.
And
have
shout
a beautiful
out
weekend.
You too, baby.
You too, babe. Shout out to New York 92.3 HD3. We always have great stories for you as well. We have more coming up for you. We're the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com. Oh, Shark.
Yes, baby.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, it's the top of a new hour, Michaela Gordon. It's our final hour with you, listeners, before we take you off into the Memorial Day weekend. By the way, what you're doing this weekend, make sure that you post all the pictures, because if you didn't post anything, it didn't happen.
That's right.
And for those going to DragCon, have the best time ever. It's going to be such a fun event. I'm so bummed I'm missing it this year, but what can I say? Palm Springs is a calling.
Hi, 103.1. I wish I was going to Palm Springs.
I know.
I'm so excited for you.
Coming up after we give you some news on the beat, we're going to take a short break, and then Emma Willman and Mateo Lane are going to join us in studio to talk about their upcoming comedy specials, but also their podcasts and their appearance at DragCon together. So that should be a really fun time, because they're kind of like, they're really similar to us.
All right, calm down.
Except they do the stand-up comedy on a professional level.
I said calm down.
While Michaela regains her composure, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, Nina West has become the Mrs. Doubtfire for a new generation of children. The drag performer who stars in season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race has released a music video, Drag is Magic, in which she dons spectacles and a cardigan to teach kids the power of drag.
What is drag? Drag is dress up for girls and boys, and it's pretty hard to mess up. All you gotta do is imagine who you wanna be, and make it lovely or make it trash. You could sashay in a garbage bag. Maybe you could make it fashion. All you gotta do is trust yourself and believe, 'cause drag is magic. La 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 la.
Now, throughout the video, West transforms into a variety of looks, including a princess, a pirate, and a trash bag queen. By its conclusion, the children are dancing in their own costumes to West's catchy tune. Drag is Magic is one of several songs on an EP of the same name that is geared toward educating and entertaining children. Other songs on Drag is Magic include The Reading Song and Go Big, Be Kind, Be You. Now, West has released an additional EP that is more adult-oriented, John Goodman. The songs, which include one track dedicated to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, deals with cultural and political satire. All right, speaking of Sanders, looks like investigating the investigators has begun. President Trump ordered all U.S. intel agencies to assist Attorney General William Barr in his review of surveillance issues surrounding Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Now, Trump has long maintained, without any evidence, that entitles in the U.S. government were spying on his campaign. The president and his allies also want to know how the Russia investigation got started. Now, Barr has expanded powers to look into all of that, including the ability to declassify certain documents that would otherwise stay under wraps. Democrats, including House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff, have called the expansion of powers un-American and a movement towards politicizing the Justice Department. All right, guys, moving on. The L Word is coming back this year, a decade after the original series ended its run. News dropped earlier this year that the reboot was a sure thing and that original stars Jennifer Beals, Lisha Haley, and Kate Moaning, I'm sorry, how can I mess up her name? She's my wife. We're all okay.
I thought you were madly in love with her. What happened there?
I am. I just get tongue-tied when it comes to Kat got my tongue,
well,
literally.
There's a lesbian joke.
Okay, that's enough of me. We're all returning as actors and as executive producers. Now, Showtime has revealed that the reboot will be called The L Word Generation Q, according to Deadline. While groundbreaking in its own right, the original L Word made missteps around bisexual and trans identities and was not as racially diverse as LGBTQ inclusive shows that have come after, like Orange is the New Black. Signaling that the new series intends to thoughtfully depict various identities, last month the show put out a casting call for trans actors. There was no indication of how pivotal the roles would be, but it's an important step for a series that was called out for transphobia during its original run. Generation Q will shoot in Los Angeles this summer and is set to premiere in the fall. The pilot is directed by executive producer Steph Green, who's directed episodes of The Americans, The Man in High Castle, and You're the Worst. All right, you guys, well, coming up, we are so excited to have Emma Willman and Mateo Lane join us. You may remember Emma Willman from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She also joined us on our debut show at the Abbey just last year, but we are so excited to have them in studio.
Yeah, Mateo's got this amazing Netflix special. I've seen him on a bunch. Of course, like, constantly touring everywhere doing his comedy. And he's kind of a big deal online right now. Like, his social media is, like, popping off. Also, I think he just became the brand ambassador for, I think it's Paul Smith Pride, but we'll ask him about that when we come back.
That's right. So stick around. We're that new channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Just having all the fun behind the scenes here on The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon, and we're joined by everyone who we want to be, Emma Willman and Mateo Lane. Now, if those names sound familiar, you probably saw them on one of their many comedy specials, or perhaps you saw Mateo Lane on Late Show with Stephen Colbert, or maybe Emma Willman from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, as well as her first stand-up special on Netflix, which aired last fall. Welcome, guys, to The Morning Beat.
Thank
again
you so
for
much.
You, Emma.
Yeah, I was with, and Mateo was on that Netflix, too.
Yeah, that's we both have a Netflix special.
I think that's where I first discovered him, because I was following you first, and then I was like, oh, she's got a friend who she does stuff with every now and again.
She's got a friend.
Scrolling down,
she
and I was like, oh,
friends.
Let it be a gay man. Let it be a gay man who likes to take a shirtless picture. I'm in.
Hello.
So then I started watching this special, and you had very strong opinions about Lindsay Lohan and her desire to play Ariel.
He did, yes.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think it's, I mean, I look, I love Lindsay. Mm-hmm. She's a gay icon.
Yeah, sure.
in the same way that, like, Maleficent and the Barefoot Contessa are gay icons. We have no rhyme or reason where gay icons come from. But yeah, Lindsay, I just think it's funny that she's like, I should play Ariel. I'm like, girl, I didn't know mermaids could smoke underwater. Like,
stop.
And she's talented, but she never rose like the phoenix we wanted. You know,
right.
She just kind of scurried to the side.
She
like
never
a crab.
Had so much potential. Mean Girls, that was so.
She's got that island.
Did you guys? Yeah. Did you watch the show, the Mykonos Island?
I went to the premiere.
Premiere.
Absolutely.
Oh my god.
My friend.
Bragging.
Okay. My best friend's Bob the drag queen, and he's like, "Oh, I'm going
Bob
to the." And Monet and Bob were like, "We're going to the Lindsay Lohan premiere or whatever tonight." I was like, "Oh, I'm one of your dates because I've got to get next to her." And so I just, and she looks great. I mean, I stood right by her.
Did you talk to her?
No. What was I gonna say? I don't know what to say.
Did you smell her? Did she smell like camel ice?
She smelled like the sea.
Okay.
But yeah, she just was. She seems fine. I mean, that whole show. You would think the show was gonna be like Lindsay running this club and doing it, but she just kind of like hired a cast of hot people, and then she shows up every blue moon. She's like, I take charge. We're like, no, you don't.
I was so disappointed in the show.
Yeah.
You had
high expectations for real.
I had high expectations on the show. It was gonna be appointment TV for me,
this
Lindsay and
sucks.
Mykonos. And then I was like, you know what? I'm disappointed. I was really upset about the show.
Wow.
But that also shows my expectations in life. I keep them low. So.
And I was with you guys, I think it was your very first show.
It was. We were broadcasting live from the Abbey.
Yep.
We were called, I think, Out Now at the time, before the new Channel Cube rebrand. So welcome. And this is, now you're in studio.
Now
with
we're
us.
In a studio. Yeah, it was at the Abbey. I don't know, it was a little while ago, but I remember it.
Did we try to give you liquor? We might have at that hour.
I don't remember. No, you know what? You didn't.
Can you guys hear me, by the way? I can't hear me.
Oh, there's a little volume button. Right there.
There we go. So I'm like yelling. Sorry for everyone at home. Who's like waking up.
We've seen you. You've got a new. We talked about your niece on the show, actually, because we have a love for our niece and nephews.
Love my niece.
But you just got a new nephew, and you said you hated him during the break.
I said, Mateo's also Italian, and I love Italians. So she said, do you love him? Do you hate him? And I said, I love Italians, because it's always like one extreme or the
really
other.
Extreme.
There's no in between.
I'm also Italian and Mexican, so like it's not.
That's why I like
insane.
You. I'm Puerto Rican Italian. I knew there was a New York City East Coast bond.
And I'm Italian Jewish, so
there
you
go.
Man,
that's a mix I can't even get near.
You guys must have
the most fun dinners.
And then we feel guilty about everything afterwards, about all the things we ate.
So talk to us a bit about your podcast. Again, if you're just joining us, we're with Emma Willman and Mateo Lane talking about Inside the Closet, which is actually going to be live at RuPaul's Drag Con, 5:30 p.m. on Saturday with special guest Rachel Bloom.
Yeah.
So talk to us about Inside the Closet first, and
we're
then specifically
so
Drag Con.
So excited for Rachel Bloom, too. What a treat.
Yeah. What a treat.
How'd that happen?
But she's I know her from Crazy Ex.
That's right.
So, and I was all, and you know,
I was like,
she,
Emma text her. She's like, all right. I mean, that was it. It's kind of very anticlimactic.
I did feel, I was like, I know her from Crazy Ex, and she had said a couple times, she was like, I listened to your podcast. And then I was like, oh, because I'd be curious if you guys have this. I mean, we're so personal on the podcast, and it's just like
you forget, you say things. Uh-huh.
You can get in trouble, yeah, and you say all kinds of stuff. So I'd be pretty professional on set, and then if she listens to the podcast, it's me being like, I got a drinking problem, I had sex with this person, just a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I was like, oh, you listen? Do you still want me around? And she was like, yeah, I love it. Like, I'm a big fan. Like, I love Mateo's Barbara. Mateo does a Barbara impression.
Oh, my God.
She brought it up a couple times, so now here she is.
I want to tell you a story about a young girl who became a waitress, and when she was struggling, she got a loan for $1,000. In fact, I'm out.
It's good.
A great Barbara and Liza Minnelli.
Let's get Liza in there.
I just want to say the first thing my mother told me. Oh. She said, "Liza, call an ambulance."
I heard his Liza impression before I ever even saw anything with Liza on it.
Oh,
so, yeah. No, so like, I didn't even have a frame of reference. I was like, yeah, all right. So, no. Sounds good, man.
Like my kind of gal.
Bob the drag queen actually filmed me doing Liza 73 questions with Liza Minnelli.
Oh my God.
We walk around the house, and then some woman who did it a year ago. I forget her name. She's super talented and good, but it's very different Liza. I have my mustache, and it was very subdued.
Do you guys watch Drag Race? I've never
seen
it.
Oh my God, yeah. We're obsessed.
So is there anything I should know? Because
Nizcracker, Monet, and Bob on our show.
Let me tell you something.
How dare you, Emma? I'm sorry. Drag royalty, and you don't even pay them the respect they deserve.
Well, I research them, but I only watch crime shows.
I'm just wondering what you guys are going to be like in this convention center. It's a massive, basically gay convention, from gay businesses to lipstick to glitter to harnesses for Mateo.
Oh, great.
I don't own a harness. I don't have the confidence to wear a harness.
What? We'll get you one.
I know. I'm really into go-go boys. I'm so attracted. I just feel like they have the most fun life.
I think go-go boys are cute too.
Have you ever go-goed yourself?
No, I don't have confidence. I'm too insecure. My gosh.
Would you go-go as Liza?
Yes.
Great question.
I just need a wheelchair because I broke my knees.
Okay, so you're going to be a drag con at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. I'm also going to be a drag con.
Ooh.
Where is your booth going to be? It's going to be inside the closet live.
No, we're doing a panel at 5:30. So we have no idea.
It's the panel. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, so it's probably the main stage.
Where's your booth going to be?
We're 1527.
Oh, we'll come say hi.
I won't be there.
Never mind.
I'll be drinking by a pool. I rented a house in Palm Springs. I was like, I'm getting out for the weekend.
Good for you. Yeah.
Do you want me to sit in the front row cheering you on like a proud Italian mother?
Because she will, so be careful what you ask for. She'll show up with posters. Yeah.
Whatever
I'll bring
you
a sign. I'll be like, this is for Bo, who you hate.
Okay, so my nephew is named Bo, and this is what I didn't get. So this is what it is. My sister just had the baby, and I'm so close with my niece. My concern was, is she going to be like feeling weird that now there's this new attention going to someone else?
No.
So I haven't bonded with him. I feel very protective of her.
No, here's the thing. My nephew first. My nephew's my best friend, and he's 9, so that says a lot about me. But then my niece, I was nervous about the same thing, but they're a boy and a girl. They're totally different people. So where I bond with like dinosaurs with my nephew, I'm bonding with like lipsticks with my niece. So it's totally different love.
Right. All right. So listen, where can people listen to the podcast Inside the Closet?
Spotify or iTunes. Just type in Inside the Closet.
So, okay, do that now during the break. But when we come back, we're going to play a game with, we're going to play a game with Emma Willman, Mateo Lane. So keep it locked here.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Yeah, well. Welcome back to The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon, and today we're joined by Emma Willman and Mateo Lane. They're going to be at RuPaul's Drag Con this Saturday at 5:30 p.m. doing a great panel with Rachel Bloom, because Emma, you were on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend with her.
Yes, very exciting.
All right, so since you guys are a comedy duo, and Michaela and I on occasion think we are, we decided to play a little bit of a newlywed style game.
I just want to say this really quickly. Yeah. Emma has her passport out right now, just randomly.
I got
go
problems.
Somewhere?
No, let me tell you.
Why are you carrying your passport around?
Because I lost my license. My license expired.
Same.
And then I lost it. So now this is my ID.
Okay. Nice.
I need to take a class on how to be an adult. I'm having problems.
Emma.
Same.
Oh,
I'm
my gosh. Let me see your picture.
You are like a functional person.
Oh, my God.
I need to see
a picture of you looking not great.
I was sweating.
It'll make me feel better about life.
And at Walgreens.
His not great
and a little
is still gorgeous.
Taking a picture of this. All right, let's get on to the game. Justin, our producers, will give it the rules. Justin, what are the rules?
So the game is just like the newlywed game. So I asked the boys 5 questions that the ladies are now going to answer, both Michaela and Emma. So, question number 1. What is Jay and Mateo's favorite food?
Oh.
Respectively, yeah.
You answer for Mateo.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Mateo.
Pasta, but the with the I can't pronounce the name of it.
She's
but
right.
It's like vegetarian.
That definitely counts.
Every
it's not about the amount of ingredients, but every ingredient has to be really, really good.
See,
pepper,
good.
Socio chepe,
popio
chep. Fuck.
There you go. You got.
Wait, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm so sorry. That's the kind of pasta.
My
that's
favorite
the pasta
food.
Brand.
You got it. Emma.
I don't
you got
know
it.
Your favorite
so sorry.
Food. I feel like we always go to sushi, so I would just say sushi. What is it?
Cuban I was sandwich. Cuban sandwich because I was like, that's like my favorite food.
When has that ever been your
when
favorite?
I talk about-
Are you? That's not a. That's not his favorite.
Now that's when it's a real friend. That when it's they're gonna now change well, what
no.
your favorite is.
You know what it is?
Yeah, oh no, it's not.
Poppy, we have never in a year gone for Cuban
because
sandwiches.
You can only get cute Cuban sandwiches in Miami, and you're never there with me.
Just go to the next
one. He threw you a curveball.
I love how Emma was right on, though.
I'm so sorry.
She knew because I'm so, I never shut up about it.
Question number two. What is Jay and Mateo's coffee order?
Oh, he likes it with a little cream and a little sugar. Two Splendas and a little cream.
Ah, there she goes. Yeah.
Two Splendas.
I think Mateo just does his black, but normally has Americano with, like, yeah, Americano or espresso.
It's there. See, she said it.
Oh.
Espresso. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Or red eyes.
Emma Mateo.
I've never had
two.
A red eye.
Oh. I got
number
coffee.
Three. What do they say is your their biggest pet peeve of you?
Oh, God. That I'm late. And I'm disorganized.
You have to choose one.
Oh, my hair. No, I'm just kidding. That I'm disorganized. Yeah.
Emma! You're so good at this.
I mean, why am I like this? I literally, like, I'm just not a grown up at all.
Yeah, Michaela and I are having breakdowns.
I'm so irresponsible.
I would give her the point.
I'll give it to you. It's unorganized. They both picked unorganized for you.
You got your career. You've been in a relationship for 4 years.
No,
I think that's pretty responsible.
No, Poppy literally buys me grown up things every day on Amazon and gives them to me to help better my grown up life.
I will be
life.
Driving next
everything.
To her to try to be cute and wave, and all I see is her looking down and face
no.
lit up, and I'm like, I will get you a thing to place your phone so
that's
you're
true.
Not
he got me
it.
My first beauty light, though. That was a
oh,
blessing.
Yeah. Mateo had to save me. Yesterday, I tried to order a meal at a food truck, yeah. and I just pointed to the sign, and then they gave me a hot chocolate. And then he had to come and order for me, and I got scared and ran off.
I just had to speak Spanish for Emma.
There was a language barrier, and I felt uncomfortable, so that I just kept pointing
just
at
the hot chocolate.
I just
and then
ran
and, I said, that's what I want, the food plate. And then he gave me a hot chocolate, and I ran away.
Oh, my gosh.
Alrighty, so the last question for this round of the newlywed game, or the couples game. What is the strangest place? Where is the strangest place that these two have made whoopee?
You're not going to know this.
Wait,
I don't think you know this either, but it's funny.
That he has in his life?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to go graveyard.
I'm often in graveyard.
He's never said he's done
oh,
that. I was just guessing.
Oh, God. The craziest Michaela? Place you've made whoopee, I don't know, outside?
A little more specific, please.
In a car?
Oh, no. That was... Not mine.
That wasn't his.
That was mine. I had sex with a Chicago cop in the
oh,
back of a cab.
Yeah. That's great.
And I had sex in my ex-boyfriend's Jersey Shore beach house in his parents' sauna.
Nice.
With someone you know, Michaela.
Give me a mouth it to me.
I don't even know what the place, craziest place.
Where I know who that is.
All right.
So it's now currently 3-2. And next round, points will be doubled, and the ladies
oh my
are
God.
So we're going to switch.
Doesn't count.
We're with Emma Willman and Mateo Lane. They're going to be at RuPaul's Drag Con this weekend at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. And, of course, make sure that you are listening to their podcast, In the Closet. We'll have more with them when we come back from the break.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
We're still here with Emma Willman, Mateo Lane. Emma Willman, you know her from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and
yeah.
Mateo Lane from the same Netflix special you guys both did, fell in love, so great. By the way, did you know that Mateo had lived in Italy as an oil painter and opera singer before he started his comedy career?
No
How
big
many
deal,
people
guys.
Can say that? I read that and I was like, that's interesting.
You're like, huh?
It's crazy.
Radio.
All right, so now we asked the ladies to leave the room earlier, and then Mateo and I gave our producer, Justin, some just answers to very common questions that we thought you ladies would know the answer to. Mm. Now we're flipping it. We left the room. You guys were asked you gave them some answers, some of the questions, and now Mateo and I have to figure out.
Feel like these were hard, though.
Were
it's
they?
Tough, too, because also I'm not like, I'm a pretty... I'm not wishy-washy. Like, I'm super
I'm
neurotic.
Very specific.
Right. I am,
you're
too.
That's
like,
how Jay is, too.
That was well described.
Wow. I could have a million answers.
Yeah.
I'm like a mess.
Right. I just don't do oil painting or speak Italian. So,
but
basically the same person. Yeah.
We all got our skills.
All right, Justin, lead us in here.
All right, so this is round two. The points are doubled. And now I have Michaela Zinnem. Emma's answers that you two are going to answer.
Okay.
Jay and Mateo. Number one, what is their favorite late-night snack?
I'm going to say Michaela's chips.
Emma's has gummy bears.
Oh, that's a close
vitamin
second.
Vitamin gummies.
That's a close second.
Puppy, you were so close. It's that's candy. So close.
Candy or chips. Yeah, that remember.
That was right.
Yeah,
give him the point.
No, it's fine.
He should get something for that because I said peanut butter, but gummy, I talk about eating gummy snacks much
gummy
more.
Vitamins.
I eat gummy vitamins much more.
Well, you should have answered gummy snacks.
I should have thought of that.
We, go ahead. They're getting the point.
All righty. Next one. What is their one guilty pleasure?
Emma, I don't know how Emma's trying to help me. I don't want to look at Emma.
I don't know how guilty it is, but I know that Michaela likes red wine.
Ooh. Oh, that's
Pinot,
so good.
Pinot Noir. But I don't know if that's so guilty.
That should have been the answer because I feel guilty every sip and every bottle that I take down every night. That's right.
What I put as my guilty pleasure, you're not going to think I feel guilty about because I don't really feel guilty
porn.
About it, but oh yeah.
With the assist, but I'll still give them the point. They're now leading 5-2.
Yeah.
Alrighty, next up. What is the one thing that they absolutely hate?
Ooh, Michaela's is the sound of people eating or mouth sounds.
Same. Yeah. I hate that. I hate that.
I
hate it. Hate it.
Doesn't bother me at all. I don't mind.
I hate it. ASMR, that new thing that's gotten famous.
What's ASMR?
I throw up.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah, the sound thing.
People talk to talking like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Crap. I can't think of the thing that Emma hates the most.
Yes.
Because normally I'm talking about specific people.
Yeah. So, it's all like gossipy stuff. I don't know. Maybe like moving apartments.
I have hated that recently.
Yeah.
But that's not what you
What
hate.
Is it?
Condescending people.
Yeah, when people are condescending.
Ooh.
Like if someone talks down to me. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But that's kind of like specific.
Right.
One time I was playing Pictionary and someone was like, the word was suspicious. I was like, no, you can't draw suspicious. Right.
Shifty eyes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Alrighty, so it is 5-4. It all rests on this question.
Come on, Poppy.
Mamma mia.
Jay, Mateo, where's the strangest place that these two have made whoopee?
You know this.
I know this, Emma.
Wait, there's the one, our hobby one.
Yeah, I only pick four questions.
Oh, damn.
All right.
There's no
strangest
way he's going to guess
place that
this.
Michaela Gordon made whoopee. I'm going to guess.
You know this because I said it.
There's no way you're going
to
guess.
That doesn't mean I listened to it.
Come
on. Jeez.
In a bar? Like a basement? A restaurant? Like some kind of like eating place.
There's no way he's going to guess it.
Strangest place she had six.
The top of the Chrysler building? I don't know.
That would be amazing.
I don't know why I feel like Michaela's strangest
place. I used to
place.
Go visit this. Oh, go.
No, go. I just feel like hers is going to be like something from school, like under the bleachers or some school thing.
No.
I used to go visit the stripper at work when she worked at a hedge fund, and we had sex in the bathroom on our lunch break.
Okay, but I was thinking stripper, but I didn't want to blow up your scene. I was going to be like, yes, you were dating. Like,
was yours in the bathroom at like Rage or something in WeHo?
That was another time.
Oh.
That was a really nice time. But the jet ski with Lisa in Mexico.
Oh.
And we kept paying for the jet ski to rent it out, and then we kept driving out. Like, they couldn't see us, but they could. We realized
after. Which, by the way, impressive.
Yeah. Impressive. Good.
That is impressive.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Videos
you
are on XTube right now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, Mateo and Emma Woman, you guys are going to be at RuPaul's Drag.
We have one more.
That's it.
That's it. Emma and Mateo are the winners, 5-4.
Amazing.
See, we got to do better.
We got to do better.
So you can see everyone at RuPaul's DragCon this weekend. 5:30 p.m. on Saturday is where Emma Woman and Mateo Lane will have their panel with guest Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So make sure you catch them there. Give them the kids your social. It's at Mateo Lane for Mateo. And then Emma's, yours is?
At Emma Willman.
Perfect.
And you should check out Mateo's too because he just did a campaign for some pride stuff. And if you want to see a body transformation, if you go way back in his, do you have pictures of you before you were muscular? Still, Mateo?
I don't know. Maybe still.
It's
maybe
good
in my
workout
tags.
Motivation.
Wait, you weren't always
he wasn't.
He's
he was
very
tiny.
Fit.
He was like a tiny little baby.
No, it was very
and then you
skinny.
See the build of the muscle, so you're like, oh, I could do that
too.
I'd
feel better if I saw the beginning.
Jay. I feel like Jay was very, very skinny.
I was very skinny, and now
you're
muscly.
Built out too.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was very, very skinny. In fact, I still think I'm very, so I'll look at someone that is a lot smaller than me and still think we're the same size.
That's so interesting. When were you skinny? Because it must have been, was it?
Oh my God, during Queer Eye.
Queer Eye, he was
but
so
you were
skinny.
This is how skinny I was.
Weren't you really lean when you did Queer Eye?
Yeah, I was, but I was like,
fit.
Yeah, but I was more like Twinkie lean. Like I was. How old are you here? Ish.
24.
We're looking at the picture of Mateo. Mateo when same era as little. Me.
Yeah.
Mateo, you look so cute. Well, follow him on Instagram to see that. And follow Emma on Instagram as well. I will be, you can catch them in the closet. I'm sorry, inside the closet at RuPaul's Drag
Con. Yes, and Mateo will be there as well.
In the closet for so long.
You will be front row, you said. Now you've committed. You're in.
I'm going to be the Italian Jewish mother cheering you on. And she'll be,
you're going to be at a booth, right?
Yeah, I'm at 1527, so come say hi.
Is there Q&A for you guys?
I don't
know. Probably. We'll do a Q&A.
We'll do one. And we're so excited. Rachel Bloom, she's so talented.
So talented.
Oh my God, singing and dancing and all the stuff.
I'm going to stalk Miss Coco Peru. I got to find her.
Oh my gosh.
Coco Peru.
Yeah, I was about to say something and I realized they're going to bleep me if I say her famous tagline. But it burns, Gabriel. It burns.
It burns.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, we'll join you again on Tuesday. Have an incredible weekend, Memorial Day weekend. And don't forget, we've got my friend Lily Tomlin coming in on Tuesday to have a chit-chat with us about all things Grace and Frankie, plus just fun. Being an icon. You know
that's
how she
right.
is.
That's right. And make sure to come see me. 1527 is the Channel Q booth. We'll be so excited to see you there. Have a great rest of your weekend. Be safe. Don't drive. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.